Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we got another show of the same shows. Fear the Walking Dead, Van Helsing, Debris, Big Sky, and Manifest. And look, I have a co-host. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
I am well. Ready for another exciting night of Fandom Access.
I am. What letter are we up to this week? Are we the Glamorous Gabbers?
I like that one. I can remember that one.
You didn't have that one yet?
After my initial alphabet run, I just random. I actually did Entertainment Explosion tonight.
Ooh, the Entertainment Explosion. I like it. That's what tonight's going to be.
That was your idea originally.
Entertainment Explosion?
Remember when we were talking about renaming the show from just Fandom Access? Remember we were like Week in Review and Roger had been like, you guys got anything more creative than Week in Review? And we went back and forth on it. I came up with TV Tantrum and you came up with Entertainment Explosion.
I did like TV Tantrum too, yeah.
Yeah. So but we ended up just sticking with Week in Review and then our description I changed.
At least people understand it. People know what the Week in Review is.
Yes.
They get it.
Us
yeah.
complaining about stuff because we don't like anything we watch.
That's what it is. It's a tantrum. That's why it should be the TV Tantrum.
That's why TV Tantrum sounded so perfect. Jamie's here.
Yeah. Hi, Jamie.
Hello. I don't remember that one.
Hello.
I remember too.
Hello.
Welcome to the TV Tantrum.
Yeah.
The Entertainment Explosion.
Yeah. We do complain a lot recently, don't we?
It's been a bad spring. Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to watch better shows.
Speaking of,
I think I
read the recap you usually read for Fear from Forbes. This guy does not like Fear, does he?
I like Eric Kane. I like his reviews, but he really has not been liking Fear for a couple years now.
Well, he definitely didn't like this at any rate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't read any coverage of anything this week, so because I've been kind of busy getting ready to go on vacation.
Uh-oh, where
tomorrow.
Are you going?
Again?
I'm going again. I haven't gone on like a real vacation in a long time. I went to my parents' house. There's been a pandemic, AJ. We were all stuck at home. I am going, maybe you think I already went because I already talked about it. I'm going to a state park. James Island State Park is like on the southern tip of Maryland. And they have 30 miles of kayak trails. So my friends and I rented a cabin.
Cool.
We rented kayaks. And we're going to go kayaking. And, of course, you know, we rented a cabin, but the cabin has electricity, a kitchen, bedrooms, a bathroom, all, you know, has everything inside. It's like it's like a little house, right, what they call a cabin.
Yeah.
And there's only, like, four of them in the park. And so we're going to do some kayaking and drink some wine and hang out for a couple days.
And of course, the wine. You can't forget the wine.
Well,
just don't drink
the wine
before you go kayaking, please.
No, the wine.
You don't
want to
burn a berry. You're drowning in the water because you drank too much wine.
Actually, the best thing to do is drink while you're kayaking.
Yeah.
It's fun.
As long as you make it back from the kayaking. Okay.
They have the trails. There are some protected trails that are, like, more on the river that are – basic and intermediate, and then the we're not going to do open water kayaking because we don't know what the hell we're doing. So we'll keep to the novice, but I'll be gone Wednesday to Sunday with no internet. Woo-hoo! And you know what? After a full year of Zoom meetings for work every damn day of my life, I'm pretty excited to go to a place with no internet.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
So, all right. On with the show.
All right. On with the show. Let's jump into it.
Okay. So do you want to start with Fear? Or?
Yeah. Let's start with Fear the Walking Dead.
So this week's,
what happened? Oh, this was John Dory Sr., the John Dory Sr. episode.
Yeah, who just happens to run into June because they find everybody during the apocalypse.
Well, Texas is a small place, Jamie. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? Find less people in Walmart than you in Texas on this show. But anyway, regardless of the fact that that they found him, and you would think if it's so easy to find him to begin with that at some point he would have found his son. That would have made, you know, sense too. But it's, of course, right after
they're
he
all,
dies.
They're all, like, living right next to each other all this time and never found each other.
Right, right. But regardless of that, I mean, he obviously, the point of him being there maybe wasn't the best, but I did like this episode for what it was. I mean, I thought it was decent character development. I liked June's scenes with him, Keith Carradine, and that interview is up if people want to read it. But, Rod, I mean, did we need it? Definitely not. But I thought for what it was enjoyable, and I didn't mind seeing more of June, and I thought they were good together. The fact that he just happens to be the guy who arrested Teddy and knows him, and like we said, you said something like the fact that he somehow knew that he wasn't in his jail cell, like why would he know that? But
he's like, I went to the prison and he wasn't in, the doors were open and he wasn't in his cell. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, you know exactly what cell he's in. Yeah.
Well, maybe all the cells were open, but
nobody was in a cell probably, much like the prison that Rick went to in season like three, right?
Right, right. So it's obviously contrived that he's there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, I didn't mind it. I liked it. I don't know we really learned anything. I mean, we learned that he had captured him or whatever and sent him to jail. So obviously Teddy, there's going to be some kind of showdown between him and Teddy because that's what will happen. And now they've got him to try to bring them to Teddy. And that other guy at the cabin that shot him, that was Ginny's guy, wasn't it?
He was one of the Rangers.
He was the ranger that was left.
Well, I guess he didn't go with Victor, right? Victor controls the rangers who decided to stay. I guess this guy decided not to stay. He was Ginny's right-hand guy, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's the one that tried to kill Ginny. So he ends up dead because he tries to kill Dory, and then June shoots him. But pretty much the whole episode is her going with him and finding these things out. The fact that she left that letter from John, which she's had and somehow stupidly decided not to read until she couldn't, and somehow it survives and gets back to her through Dwight and Sherry, which, you know, I have to say, before we had said the two relationships on the show, I had enjoyed John and June, and obviously they ruined that by killing John, but the thing with Sherry and Dwight I'm getting sick of, and the fact is in this episode that she just like runs the horses till she ends up shooting the horse, like doesn't even care and just does that, like just made me hate her more. But because I did not like that, obviously, for obvious reasons. But does she at the end of this, I think she agrees she's not going for Negan. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Didn't she at the end of decide not to? So, okay, she made one choice that wasn't as stupid as what she was planning to do. But I just don't care anymore. Like, for the whole thing, you wanted Dwight to find her, but it's like, not that she was a fantastic character on the original show, but it's like I like her even less here, and I just don't care about the relationship anymore because they look for each other, spent forever, and now that they're together, they, like, fight. It's just...
Well, so there's a bunch of things to comment on here. Yeah, so I do not find Sherry to be the most likable character, right? Partly because after all Dwight went through, she like broke up with him and we liked Dwight, so there's that. But she also is just annoying with her, like, you know, I mean, she's been an antagonist really since we met her. She has, you know, she's been an antagonist with like stealing the MRAP and, you know, like not wanting to, I mean, the whole like I'm going after Negan thing was so dumb. Like, she's like, I'm going to go back to Virginia and kill Negan because I'm traumatized over what Negan did to me. And okay, I get it. and, you know, Negan
upset over that and destroyed because of what Negan did. I mean, I can appreciate that, but she's stupid.
I appreciate it too. Like he forced her basically to be his concubine, and you know, I get it that she's traumatized and she ran away. I mean, it has been years, although it's not like she's had any mental health treatment, but I think the idea that I'm going to ride a horse from Texas to Virginia, find Negan, kill him, and then ride the horse back, right? And first of all, she rides the horse so hard she kills it, right? But as you said, but what makes her think she can find Negan? And what makes her think Negan so, like and Dwight, hasn't Dwight already told her that the sanctuary fell? Right? Like, Dwight doesn't know that Negan's been living, Dwight left after the sanctuary fell and Negan was, like, captured, but, like,
yeah,
Dwight doesn't really know. Yeah, there's a good chance he said, right, by now. I mean, certainly.
But I also,
I think it's reasonable to assume that somebody would have killed Negan by now because he's so horrible and a giant pain in the ass. He's actually still alive, but whatever. And remember, they're several years behind. So Negan has not been that long into his captivity on this show. But it's a dumb plan, and no one really challenges her on it being a dumb plan. And then she does give it up because it's a dumb plan.
Yeah, finally. But my kind of thing is all this stuff has happened to her, and, like, she's finally safe. Like, why would you waste any more of your life on that ass hat? It's just not worth it. I understand that she wants to kill him, but I don't know. It's a dumb plan. I agree. And her character has become annoying to me.
Yes. I mean, it's not worth it to us. I mean, she suffered a lot of abuse and wants revenge, right? So I guess it's easy for us to say, like, don't waste more of your life on him, but he, like, haunts her or whatever. But it's a dumb plan, so you have to ride a horse. How long is it going to take? It's going to take potentially months or years to get there, right?
Got all the way there because, you know,
every day it's like
can.
New York, like the United States is as big as New York City, and they're just going to walk over to the West Side and kill Negan and come back, right? So that was a little silly. Also, like, they seem to have plenty of cars and gasoline still at this point, so why wouldn't she, you know, I mean, I think she was going to take a car and there was no gas, right? That's why she took the horse, but...
Yeah,
I find her to generally not be a likable character, and it's partly because she's, you know, breaking Dwight's heart, and we like Dwight, but it's also partly because she's just a bad character at this point.
Yeah.
So that was annoying, yes. The John Dory Sr. business, I mean, he was a pretty decent character. I mean, I think it's dumb that we agree that it's dumb that everybody lives 5 minutes away from each other in Texas and never bumps into each other until it perfectly suits the story. And it is kind of dumb that we find out this bit about how he, like, okay, what bothers me about this business with Teddy partially is like, why does he have to be, like, why does every villain have to be this crazy, demented person? Like, he's a killer who he's a serial killer, right? That's why he was in prison. And he has been planning this, like, spouting this this philosophy of his, the end is the beginning, everybody has to die kind of thing, for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. We've talked a lot about this, that this show is one outrageous villain after the next. And couldn't there just be, like, a normal, like, you know, like the struggle for water on the ranch in season, like, 3 was kind of interesting. And it was like you could see both sides of it. And both sides were like, some people were jerks, but they were kind of rational. Like, why does he have to be a nut job serial killer? And then it turns out that, like, yeah, that John Dory put him, like, it's just crazy, right? I think you said contrived. Is that what you said? That's a perfect word.
Yeah, the whole thing's contrived. And the fact that this whole thing was an excuse of why he left his family is, you know, just as bad. Although, I feel like June should have seen it coming, that he was going to leave her there in a way. But of course she didn't, which I thought was kind of funny. But now he's with Morgan and them. So now they have their, I don't want to say they're in, but they can have at least a little bit more intel. But, yeah, it's not – said, I don't think there was a point to his character being there. I think it was dumb that they brought his character in, especially after his, like, right after he died. But that being said, I enjoyed the scenes that he was in. I enjoyed him and June together. And June finally got to read the letter that he left him, which I'm reading this guy, the thing the guy wrote at Forbes, though, is true. Like, it just happened to be about his father, and, you know, he just happened to be there to read it, which is very true. But, you know, at least she got to read it.
Yeah. It's very convenient. It's all very convenient writing, right? It's not like stuff that,
What kind of worries me is that this finale is supposed to be so crazy, something we've never seen. I feel like it's just going to go off the rails even more, and we're going to be complaining even more. So I don't know. I'm hoping. I mean, I feel like the season started out okay. Like, some of the beginning stuff was good, and then it just, a lot of the writing in between is just not.
I'm not worried about that, because week after week after week they say, this is something we've never done before, the fans are going to go nuts, this is crazy. And every week it's just sort of like, whatever, that wasn't that outrageous. So I'm not really that concerned that it's going to be something we've never seen before, because we've seen a lot of it before. Like, they're speaking hyperbole, but not in any way that really is coming true. So I think, I do like Keith Carradine in this. Well, I mean, I liked him. I thought he was a good actor. I'm a little, so I don't know if you know, Jamie, if this is just like a recurring character multi-episode arc, or if he is a new, like, member of the show, because, I've been complaining so much that there's too many people and they need to kill some, and they finally killed a few people, and now we got a new person.
And then they bring more back.
Little, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely got the opinion he's going to be in more episodes. He couldn't. They're not allowed to tell you anything, even obviously if they told me something off the record, I couldn't tell anyway, but I mean, these people, when they do these interviews, they don't tell anything.
They don't give you anything.
So I have no idea. I mean, I asked him, I figured he'd at least talk about working with John Glover, because I think it's kind of obvious he's going to have a scene with John Glover at some point.
Yeah.
He talked about meeting John Glover, but he wouldn't even confirm he had a scene with him, so there you go. I don't know. I mean, I assume he's going to be in, I think there's only, isn't there only one episode? I'm sorry, I'm taking Excedrin one.
Is next week the season finale, I think?
I think it might be. I don't know if it's a mid-season finale, or I assume it's probably a mid-season finale, not a season finale.
Oh, is it mid-season? No, we just came back. This is the mid-season, right?
I think you're right. It might be the finale then. I don't know. I'm so mixed up with the timing of all this stuff.
Think next week might be more like the season finale, not the mid-season finale, I think.
I'm not sure what episode number it is.
Maybe not. Maybe we have a couple more to go. I'm not really sure about it does seem a little too soon to be concluding.
This one was episode 13. I don't know. I feel like maybe there's 16.
I think maybe
there's
16,
I'd have to look it up. I think
there might be 16.
But there's, either way, it's getting towards the end, I guess. Yeah, because I don't think Fear is like Walking Dead. I mean, Walking Dead has had really long seasons at times, but I don't think there's going to be that many, so it's probably the end. And then, of course, the regular show is coming back soon.
In August.
I can never remember dates. The only date I remember is, and the rest of them are just floating around in my head somewhere, and I don't remember. So,
I think it's August that it's coming back.
Yeah, I want to say August.
It's August.
Summer.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, I thought it was an okay episode, kind of, better than some. The new character was interesting. Jenna Elfman, was good in this. I thought the funeral, I'm really glad that we did get to have a funeral for John Dory, because, his death was shocking. And there wasn't really a lot of, time to say goodbye to him. So I did enjoy seeing, them at his graveside. And the letter was well done, I thought, that she couldn't, bring herself to read it or whatever.
I was going to ask, though. She didn't know he was his father till after she went with him, right?
She held a gun on him. She held a gun on him. Jamie, she held a gun on him, and he saw the initials JD on the gun, and he said, "Where'd you get that gun?" And she said, "What do you care?" He said, "Because it's mine." Remember?
Okay. I remember thinking she should have went back and told him she was leaving or something. I can't remember exactly what I think, but the fact that they followed them all this way and she wasn't even in trouble, like she should have, I don't know, gotten them a message. Don't they usually have walkie-talkies to begin with? They don't.
What do you mean who followed
them
all, this way?
Them all the way?
Oh, you mean because Dwight?
They said. Yeah, I mean, Dwight and Sherry following her and Dawn. I mean, she could have just said in the RV, "Hey, I'm fine," or in the walkie, you know, "You don't need to follow me. He's not kidnapping me. We're going to look at some information." By the way, where exactly? Oh, they were headed to the cabin. That's right. Okay, there was a point.
The radios, I mean, the radios in the show are so dumb. I can't.
What was it, though, he was bringing her to? I mean, I know he brought her to the cabin, but was there anything even there? I mean, all the information was inside the RV, right? I'm trying to remember what the point of what he even brought her to was.
He got shot, and there were medical supplies there. She's like, "I have the whole table set up with medical supplies to treat John, and I never got to because he died. So come with me, and I can help you."
But I mean,
that's why they went to the cabin.
But originally, when they got in the RV, I'm trying to remember, they were headed somewhere.
No,
he was
she wanted to show
somewhere.
Him, Jamie, she wanted to show him the orchard where there was some spray paint that he had missed. And he was if there's paint really there, then I'll believe you. Otherwise, I'll kill you, I think, or something like that, right?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember
that?
What the point was of where they were headed.
Yeah.
Something,
yeah.
Yeah. Obviously,
because
I don't think David went there.
Yeah,
but.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Right.
Well, I said there's never a through line that I think even makes it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I think overall it was better than, like you said, better than some, not as good as others. It was decent.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot more character development. I don't think we needed it. But I mean, for the most part, I found this episode enjoyable. If you don't rip apart all the inconsistencies, which in the show you kind of have to not to do, because otherwise you
mean,
can all.
Kit Carradine was good. You know, you learned, you kind of like got to see why John Dory is the way he is. And I mean, really, John was one of the best developed characters on the show anyway. So didn't require a whole lot of development, but still.
Right. Yeah.
It was good to get some posthumous character development there.
June's a good character. It's not like it was an you know, annoying character that we got an episode with like last week.
Yeah. it was okay. I mean, it was, you know, it was not so much of how I think of the show is relative to previous horrible episodes or better episodes, right? So I think it was better than, I mean, I don't think it was particularly good or needed. I mean, it was kind of needed to put John Dory to bed a little bit more than we had.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't really seen any proper mourning for John Dory. So I enjoyed seeing that. And that not just June, but Morgan and others are very sad, right? So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I don't feel that, I mean, so fans have been speculating for weeks that John Dory's father would appear on the show. So it wasn't surprising. I didn't really feel I needed it. I definitely don't need a new character. I mean, if they're going to keep him, fine. They got to kill somebody else. There's too many people on the show.
I agree. There's always new shows, though.
Yeah.
There's such an ensemble. And the thing is, it's not bad when all the characters are together, but with these episodes where each one is a couple characters, and yes, a lot of it was because of COVID. I'm not, you know, that's neither here nor there. But
yeah.
Because of that, it makes everything drawn out. It's like we're not getting enough of everybody together. We don't need all so many of these individual stories. There's it's just too much at a certain point.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
all
I
right.
think that's about that one.
I think that's about that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You want to go on to Van Helsing?
Van Helsing, yes.
This was the one I was sort of last week, thought that was last week that got mixed up when you were talking about it. Because basically the whole point of it is that Dracula sent the Dark One, whatever you want to call her. She sent out that, called it a red energy ball or whatever it was. Did she send out something that's to go get them? And it basically, it turned into like this golem thing, I think is actually how they described it. a Vanator or something. I'm reading what it's in the recap. I thought
the
it
Vanator.
Was something
they dumb call it the Vanator, yeah.
Probably, yeah, I was probably pronouncing it wrong. But this thing, this creature that was made from her hate or whatever, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's basically kind of like, I don't know. I think at time they saw the smoke maybe and thought it was something. But anyway, the thing is, it becomes a living creature, and it goes after them one by one because it wants the life force that's in that necklace, and it attacks each of her friends, each of the sisters, trying to get them to turn on Violet, which. I don't know. It was kind of in of itself, the fact that it made them all kill each other. But I think the part that I thought was the craziest was the fact, I mean, granted, it was kind of, I mean, I guess as far as crazy deaths go, it wasn't per se like, it was done okay. And for people that like that kind of thing, maybe it worked. Decapitate themselves.
That was ridiculous.
Okay.
She decapitated herself.
I've said this. I don't know if I said this on the show, but I said this enough time when I've complained about things. As just a human being, you have an imperative to live. People can commit suicide, you know, but there's certain things I don't think it's actually possible that you could do without stopping yourself. Like, I just don't think that it's possible you could actually cut your head off. And to begin with,
actually,
in TV, they make it like it's so easy to cut somebody's head off, which we all know. Well, if you know much of anything, I guess you know because we watch too many of these things. But you can't just—it's not that easy to cut somebody's head off, and you can't just.
No.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, actually, some crazy guy just like cut his own throat in a courtroom somewhere in America like yesterday. But I don't think he managed to kill himself. And I think that, yeah, I think like the physical force, like she had these two blades and she sort of crisscrossed them on her neck, and like I don't think that you would be able to cut your own head off that way. You couldn't generate the kind of strength and force needed. It was dumb. It was dumb. I appreciate that she sacrificed herself.
Oh,
you knew that girl wasn't
important. Yeah, I know, and that was the other thing I thought at the beginning of this episode. I thought, who are these red shirts? And I thought at the very beginning of the episode, I was actually thinking of you when I thought it too, because I knew you would have been complaining. I'm thinking we both know that the only people coming out of this are Ivory and Violet. Like, they were there specifically to die. That was the whole point of their characters. And So I mean, there was some character developed. I mean, I appreciated the parts with them kind of. With Ivory, and like, I guess she hasn't realized a lot how she's hurt people because of what she did. And granted, she wasn't herself when she was a vampire, but I kind of appreciated some of that, of like that girl being like, hey, you kidnapped us, you tortured our families, you know, just because you're my sister. I haven't, like, I've forgiven you in some sense, but it's not that easy to get over. And I kind of appreciated that there was some of that and a little bit of character development and stuff. But you know,
well,
there wasn't really.
I mean,
this is Van Helsing.
issues.
I guess the
things that I don't like about this episode are, like it's wasting our time with a bottle episode in the last season, right? I mean, it's related to mythology, but it's kind of not because they just made this up. Like, it's not like we have a history of the Vanator. Like, it's like the writers are, like, thinking up these one-off, like, you know that I have a problem with the proliferation of magic on the show. Like, they just keep adding, like, more magic shit every week.
Which,
and you know that it's bothering me a lot. And the Dark One just has a new power, and she creates this thing, and, like, we have a whole episode, which, you know, it's resolved by the end, right? So it's all resolved by the end because, and so I'm irritated that I had to spend yet another episode with no Kelly Overton and no legacy characters. And another thing, I kind of like the sisterhood. Like, I like the idea that Jack and Violet had this sort of army of women who were grateful to them and who would fight for them and who wanted to take the Dark One down. And not that, like,
they were.
And now they're all annihilated except for Ivory, right? Like, I didn't need all the sisters to have, like, names and be characters and have backstories, and we got a little of that this week and whatever, then they're gone. But I just felt like the sisterhood was kind of an interesting – I didn't mind the sisterhood being part of it, and now they're gone. So that one of the better narrative ploys is gone.
Right. And I was going to say, I do think they've underutilized Ivory, though. I think she's a decent character. It's just they have not given her much. That's why I was kind of saying, like, I like they developed her a little bit in this, but just they didn't enough. I guess the whole point of this episode, at least what I take out of it, was for Violet to take in some of the dark energy like her sister did so she can know what it's. Because the whole thing with Ivory is like, you can't know what it's like now. She's like, okay, I know how evil it is or whatever. I had it inside me. Like, I feel like that was the whole point of the episode. And I don't know that we really needed the whole episode for that to happen. But the point is, she takes the darkness into her. She uses it to send that thing back to wherever it came from. And that's the end of the episode. I'm not sure on that. Here's the thing. It was good that they got to end the show or whatever and got another season, but I think we've both said before that they needed to resolve what they had and not add more. Last season, as it was, they added all these new storylines. And hey, I like Violet and Jack. I do, but I want some of that other stuff resolved instead of adding more and more even now in the last season. And we still, like you said, we still don't have Kelly back. I will say some of this stuff is going to get resolved as the episodes come on. I have not seen the whole season yet. They sent more of it. I got to watch the rest. So I don't know how long it takes till all of it does. But I do feel like with these ones, we're getting more and more. I do at least want to see, and I told you we will get to see, and I think that's fine to say this, that we will, I think in the next one, I want to say the next one. It might be the one after that, whatever. But we will get back to Axel and Julius again.
Well,
side more than what's going on right now with Violet. Like, I was more interested in knowing what was going on with them, probably because it had been so long since we've seen them, and we got a little bit of that, maybe not enough. But some of those storylines do converge in the next couple
episodes. I'm sure they will. It's the final season, but, like, I mean, did we really want to see this episode in the final season? Like, this episode ultimately affected nothing, right? Like,
right. Right. No, I agree.
Yeah, you say, so Violet tried the darkness or whatever, but, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, it was a little bit unfair of Ivory to be like, you don't understand the darkness, you don't know what it was like. I mean, I get it, but, like, really, we're having this, like, my trauma is worse than your trauma conversation. So you've never been a vampire. You know what? Axel's been a vampire. Julius has been a vampire. Doc's been a vampire. There's lots of people that have been vampires and been turned. So Flesh struggled with it mightily. Flesh was a vampire a lot longer, and Flesh killed his own wife and child, and he struggled with it. Like, we've seen that.
I will say, though, I did appreciate, and that, granted, I guess she probably knew she'd come back. But I did like that she actually, the one thing I did want to comment on, Ivory.
Which she? Ivory, yeah.
Violet went, which we made the comment of, why would she believe it was Jack outside? We talked about that in the text message.
Oh,
but,
I
like that she, I forget exactly what she did, but I mean, she went, she knew what was important, and she was willing to kill Violet, and she wasn't, like, careful, you know what I mean? She did attack Violet. Which I did appreciate that. It wasn't like, oh, no, let me save you. She was willing to kill it. So I did like that. And obviously, like I said, Violet was healed and was fine. But those are kind of the few things about this episode that worked. But most of it was just excess stuff we didn't need. And I will say we get, although some things maybe start to wrap up, we do get some more excess new things that we don't need coming up too. And maybe they gave them too many episodes. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly.
That's possible. That's actually too many episodes, and that's why it's.
Because I wonder if it's really needed. Because I feel like they started a whole new storyline at the beginning of this, the season. So.
Yeah, they did.
That will.
So that's a good point. There's that. It's a little. I mean, it's frustrating, and so.
I mean, it's not the best show. It's not the worst show, but I mean, it's what it is. But I do think about it, though, when I talk to somebody about it, and they're, like, saying that they only saw part of the first season, and I'm like, that's not the same show. Like, other than it has some
show.
Of the is not, like, it was such a different show. And yeah. I don't know, sometimes it surprises me that they do this. Like, would it have been better if they had wrapped it up with the story they had, maybe made a spinoff? I don't know, because it bears hardly any resemblance to what it was originally. I'd say the only thing to me that's the same about this in the original is that we still have Axel and Julia. Like, those are the only, and it's, like, about vampires. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the rest of it is not, I mean, it was like a murder mystery before. It's not even the same, like, tone of show as it was back then. Although, I mean, things changed. If you think about Wynonna Earp, it was a very different show at the beginning than it was at the end, too. But I think, like, for Wynonna, that worked. This, maybe not
yeah.
as much.
I mean, no. Look, Wynonna Earp remains the main character for the entire series. They didn't
this
introduce,
also-
like, you know, I mean, they didn't introduce, like, new heroines to really take over. I mean, she got
no,
some help,
I,
but
just, I
this is like
it got darker at the beginning than it turned out. Like, it was not the same tone, as,
yeah.
is my point. And this has kind of done the same thing, but not in the same way and not as successfully.
Yeah.
We're going
right.
to get an ending. I appreciate at least we're going to see
yeah.
an ending, whatever that ends. And I assume, pretty sure Kelly's in it at some point. I don't know when yet, and I don't know if it's even been released when yet, but you know, hopefully at some point that storyline will wrap back around. What I'm kind of curious to understand, though, and I don't know if I missed it or they actually told us, but do we know, and I think we had discussed this before, and then we'll move on. We don't need to discuss it too much. But do we know
yeah.
yet for sure if Kelly, if Vanessa really is their mother or if it was a total lie? Because the Dracula told them it was a lie, but
yeah.
I don't know if we know the Dracula.
Yeah.
on the truth. You
no.
really know
they harvested. They harvested all of her eggs when she was a child in the lab. And so they're her biological children because they were taken from her harvested eggs. But I don't, their fathers are random soldiers, so they're only half sisters.
Well, no, but I mean, I just remember Dracula had said a lot of that wasn't true and that, like, I just didn't know if part of that was not
no.
true.
You can't
at all.
Believe one damn word that comes out of her mouth. She's the worst character.
I know.
You can't
I
believe
don't know if it
I mean
was not. Vanessa's part of them.
It's true.
That works.
There's no way that they can, I mean, there's no way that they can rewrite that. And they
yeah.
have all these Van Helsing powers. They have to be Van Helsings. They have all these
yeah, they, that's
Van Helsing powers. I mean, question for me would be, why did they not also harvest Scarlet's eggs, and could they be Scarlet's daughters? But I guess Scarlet was younger, and maybe they, I don't know, you're born with all the eggs you're going to have, but maybe you need to be a certain
yeah.
age before they can harvest them. I mean, I would think that I wouldn't pre-pubescent child, but
yeah,
maybe they can.
But,
I don't know anything about the science there.
Post-puberty, but I
so.
Don't know either. So, yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've discussed
so,
this at length enough.
Yes.
But anyway, that'll be. And I still am going to be talking to Nicole if people want to send me Jack questions. I needed
Nicole.
To reschedule. I'm probably going to decide how to do it. I might break the interview up because since they did send us most of the rest of the season, I'm probably going to watch that before we discuss.
I have
but
some
I
questions if you need
questions.
Any.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely you too, but everybody else, if anybody
yeah.
has any questions, just, you know, send them on Twitter and I'll try to get in what I can once I talk to Nicole. So I'm looking forward to that. She's cool. So, all right.
She is a nice person. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a good actress. Okay. So, exiting out of my Van Helsing tab. Let's move on.
All
okay,
right.
So we have three Manifest in Big Sky. AJ, which do you want to do first? Let you choose.
I know what he's going to say.
If he's there. He fell asleep.
He's
going to
say, let's start with the worst and work our way from worst to best.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing in that sense, then, we're probably going to start with Manifest. Or not Manifest, Debris. I'm looking at
Debris
and saying Manifest. And,
yeah.
You know, I like this show. I know I like this show, but there were so many problems with this episode I had that as I've watched this, I'm thinking, God, they are complaining so bad because there were just so many, I don't know, there's a lot of issues I had. All right. Well, hopefully AJ's listening. Why don't I tell you what I thought? So get that out of the way since I probably liked it better than both of you.
Okay.
There were certain things I liked about this episode. I kind of assumed that whatever was going on was Influx taking the pieces of the ship, and I think that would have been a better storyline. I was hoping they showed, you know, Anson and his jail cell doing his stuff with his fingers, and I was hoping that he was the one stealing the pieces, him and that other guy. And that, to me, would have been a better storyline. I appreciated that they had what's her face? God, I don't know why I'm so bad with names anymore. But
Finola.
That they had Finola, you know, and yell at him and accuse him of using him, you know, using her father's research for the weapons. I appreciated that. I appreciated the fact that he admitted it too. And he kind of made it sound like it made, I mean, I know what he did was wrong, but like he made it so it's like, oh yeah, of course we are. All the other governments are. So it makes it not that bad. So I kind of appreciated that conversation. I think that she was a little too accepting of it. She maybe wasn't quite as mad at it as she should have been. The fact that they've been making weapons, I mean, that wasn't surprising. I think my main thing about this episode that I didn't like, two things. One is that it ended up with this glowing ball of light that they've been talking about that they let fly away at the end, which was really dumb. But the fact that Brian all of a sudden believes everything, and all of a sudden that Finola accepts that Brian all of a sudden believes everything, that was bad enough, like that she just accepts this, that suddenly it's fine. But that this whole government department just lets them be like, okay, we're just going to let the aliens take over and sit back and see what happens. That, to me, was what ruined this, because they just kind of were like, okay, let's just wait and hope the people don't die and let somebody, whether it's aliens, whether it's, you know, influx, whatever, let's let them steal the rest of our debris pieces and just sit here and let the ball of light fly away and see what happens. That was like what I felt like the episode basically said. And it was, yeah. Okay. I'm done my rant. That was,
all right,
that
let's
was
get
what I,
AJ, are you listening? Where's AJ?
I don't know. I just talked. Trying to call back in. I didn't even see. He saw his phone dropped out. He said to go ahead and carry him without him trying to call back. Yeah, I just saw that.
Can you let
okay.
him? Okay. All right. He can call him without us. So, okay. So,
I can't do anything to open it.
I mean, I don't love this show. I have issues with this show. I think that it continues to, like, really go nowhere. And we continue to not learn anything ever about what's going on. And I don't think this episode really illuminated very much. So we learned there's a big warehouse where they keep all the debris, and the debris is trying to build itself into something, right? And all these people are like automatons helping, which it's funny to me because if the debris can move itself, the cases were moving by themselves, so why do you need mesmerized people to help you, right? Like, all the cases were moving around by themselves. So I don't know why. I mean, it's just a factor of whatever the polarity, right?
Yeah, that's my other thing is, is there no other scientist on this show that has brains other than her father? Because it's always like, let's just ask George. He knows everything.
Yeah.
Laughing. Anybody who's a Doctor Who fan should laugh at this when he's like, let's just reverse the polarity, because that's the answer of Doctor Who.
It seems kind of weird to me, why were these people needed? And also, I guess the reason that like only those people were subject to it is because they aren't, like, I continue to, every week I'm like, these orange suits, I don't understand how these orange suits protect them, because they're not they're not fully sealed biohazard suits. They're not they're anti-Ligari. Whatever these Ligari radiation is,
one guy got like a hole in his suit, that Asian guy, and then when he touched it controlled him.
And
I assume, but then
so I guess it's the suit.
So how did it affect Brian then? He's still in his suit.
I know, and the idea that the debris can manifest this woman who is dead. Like, if it can manifest the woman who died last week, and why didn't it just manifest the Afghan girl? He did see the Afghan girl, right?
Yeah, he did.
The choices that the debris makes to, like, it manifested, her name was Mary Lee or Mary Lou or whatever, that woman, Marielle, who, the woman in the puffy vest who died. Like, it could have, I don't know. It just seemed like all of that, like, this show really borders on magic very, very often, right? And it bothers me a lot. And you know what bothers me? The way it trades on emotion more than, I mean, I you know,
I find it
the degree,
funny, though, that what happened with that girl was so important that that's what convinced Brian. That's the other thing. I still don't buy half of that story from last week that it was so important to him. I mean, I understand how it changed him. He killed those people and all that. But the fact that this girl had such an impact on him. And like you said, more so, why did he see this other one that was connected last week that was already dead? Like, why was she an intermediary? And if it wants to talk to him, why not just talk to him? Like, I just don't understand that was what convinced him. And I don't understand that, one, it convinced him so fast, and two, that Fenella bought it convinced him so fast. Like, he had the crazy eyes. I would have been like, you've been infected. You know, I would have been like, no, we're not doing what you say.
Yes.
And
also,
feel like any other show, they would have set him and took him off the case. Instead, they're like, yes, let's just follow what Brian says, because, you know, we trust him. I don't
know.
And they have, like, their agents
I continue to be bothered by what I complained about last week, was that, like, Brian did something really bad. He shot, he executed people. He made himself judge, jury, and executioner, and he executed these people who, okay, were insurgent enemies maybe, but they were innocent of the crime he executed them for, right? And Brian was going to be, was sent to prison and was about to be charged with a war crime. And he appears to have no remorse over it whatsoever. Like, he obviously is very upset that this young woman was killed, which, fine, but he's not really, like, we haven't really seen any, we're told that there was a consequence of his actions. He was in prison, but we don't really see Brian feel any remorse at all for those actions, right? Which bothers me a little bit. I feel like Brian's like, whatever, I made a mistake, I killed the wrong guys, whatever, I'm still pissed this girl is dead. I get it, but there should be something more complex going on there, I think. I don't know. Am I asking for too much?
No, I don't know. That's why I said the fact that was what convinced them. Like, I don't buy it. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I said I had a lot of problems with this. And then we have the glowing ball of light, which is not better.
I have
than
a lot of problems.
Cave light.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
Yes. I mean, we all of us Lost fans thought the same thing. Oh, and the glowing ball of light, I thought was really, I'm like, whatever, it's a glowing ball of light. It's not really that compelling. And then, you know, we have Fenella being like, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, all right, it was a glowing ball of light. I guess there's some emotional thing going on with it also that's making her say that, maybe, because
that's
whatever.
Somewhat loses walk me at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I just constantly felt in this episode, and I feel this with a lot of the episodes, but especially in this one, I just feel like these people have no protocols. Like, they're always like, we need to try to, well, no, but they're like, even when they try to save somebody, like in another show, like X-Files, or, you know, most other shows, they'd maybe be like, we need to use the debris and not put it away, not put it in the warehouse, whatever. We need to sneak and use the debris and save these people because we don't want to let them die. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
But usually it's like the government's trying to stop them. The bosses are trying to stop them. And that's what I'm saying. Anytime in here, it's just kind of like Maddox just stands there and lets them do whatever they want. Like, they know what they're doing, which they don't. And that's why I said in this episode, it's like all these people's lives are at stake. And Brian's like, if we let this happen, it will spare them. You know, if we do this, it's going to kill them. I just know it somehow. And it's like the rest of the government doesn't care at all, and they just sit back, them make decisions, who they're like nobody important in the government, kind of, you know? And they just all sit there. And the fact that it, like, these pieces of debris that are so damn important to them, they're letting get sucked into a portal. And I honestly kept thinking they were going to pop out the other side where the where Influx people were, which I still think would have been a storyline, but that's neither here nor there. Although I did like the thing with Anson and the pieces of debris in him and him teleporting
outside. I hated that. I thought
it was something different. I thought it was interesting that he was able to activate them and teleport. I mean, I don't know that necessarily it made sense. I don't know.
I think that Anson and whatever that organization is he belongs to,
Influx.
Influx. I think Influx and Anson are Intercept.
Oh,
Inception.
No.
I don't know. I think they're terrible. I think it's really bad that we're almost at the season finale and we have no idea who these villains are, what's their motivation, what do they want, what are they trying to do, how did they get this stuff, what's their, like, he's not compelling, I don't care about him. Like, I hope they kill him and get a bit, like, Maddox and the Blonde are better villains because I understand, like,
the Blonde,
like, that Blonde contact of Maddox's who's like, the piece is in Virginia. We're going to pick it up.
I wanted to ask about. Okay, we did learn one thing this week that I appreciated. We finally learned. At least we did learn that the debris piece he's at after is like a map to all the other debris pieces. I like that they told that. But the fact at the end where that character is like George found it or whatever how did he find out that information? Was that supposed to be the Blonde? I was confused who told him that. And is George working with them, or did they just intercept that?
No.
Did somebody betray them? We're supposed to know that yet.
For the smartest guy on the planet, George is pretty dumb. And I assume that the lab George went to, they're tracking it, and they're fully well aware that someone turned on, and they're monitoring, like, everything that goes on in there. I assume the place is bugged and networked and whatever, and they're like, oh, George is back in a secret lab. I feel like that was
kind of
for me to understand.
George was alive. He still doesn't even realize this. I figured by now he would have figured it out. But
I mean, I really didn't like the bit about. So I don't like Maddox. We're not supposed to like Maddox, but I really didn't like the part where Maddox is like, "Of course we're studying it. Russians are, the Chinese are, blah blah blah." Like, I just feel like I don't know what's going on with Maddox, whether I'm supposed to, like, Maddox sometimes is horrible, and then they'll have these episodes where his wife leaves him and he's got a disabled child and you're supposed to feel bad for him, and then he's like, you know, of course the government's going to weaponize it. So I agree with you. So I think the Chinese are doing it is a terrible excuse for immoral behavior, right? And I think that Fanola should, I think Fanola should have reacted better and Fanola, like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it was like, first of all, it's too oversimplified. Like Maddox is up to more, right? Fanola doesn't react properly. I did like the part where, you know, he's like, come on, Fanola, we need to like protect everyone. And I know you feel the same way. And Fanola says, you don't know anything about how I feel. My father took his life over this stuff. And then I really appreciated, like, that she struck back at Maddox's oversimplified, condescending description that he gave. Like,
right, but then she kind of just walked away and went, I don't know. You know, honestly, all this season, I have liked this show. I know you guys don't, but I have liked this show, and I know it has a lot of problems, but overall I've liked this show. But I don't know, this episode, I just
think
this episode was so bad. Like, this episode just, for me, was just kind of like, Like, I didn't love last week's episode, and I told you how some of it I just thought was boring. But this week, I was just kind of like, no, this episode was too out there, and it just didn't work. Well, AJ, did you hear any of what we've been saying all along?
No, but I got the gist of it.
All right. So how do you feel about this episode?
Instead of saying, what did you think, what annoyed you about this week of the break?
Everything.
No, you didn't like it.
I mean,
well, give us
you know what I got
a
out of,
summary.
You know what I got out of this episode?
Yeah.
I only took one thing out of this episode. I feel like this entire thing, like, all right, in the past we've had annoyances when they're like, oh, the show has a theme and it's about love, and like with Lost, and other shows have done that,
yeah.
And it's all about, you know, this is what the show is really about. It's about, you know, and it's like, oh my fucking God. I feel like this show, based on the information we've been given, and this episode specifically, I feel like the entire purpose of the debris is to communicate. It's just a communication device. It's a really fancy communication device. And apparently, Brian is the receiver. That's what I got for this episode.
That's a good way of distilling it, because when you think about every piece of debris we've seen over the previous episodes, it mostly is, could be said that it's just communication. You're right, AJ. I mean, that's very...
Which is not good. It's not a
good
thing. Good.
Yeah.
Were you as annoyed as I was, though, about, I don't know how much you heard of what I said, but the fact that they just kind of sat back and let the aliens do what they wanted, that's what irritated me more than anything.
That they're like, we have to let it, Brian's like, I touched it, and now I think we have to let it do its thing, and they went along with him, and, you know, Jamie was saying, no, but also said, you're contaminated, you're infected, we're not listening to you, what do you mean you touched it, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Maybe what should have
been there, right? Let's just stand there, let it take all the debris away, and just stand there with the glowing ball of light.
Yeah, I mean, that was my favorite. Like, it was so funny. It was so it reminded me of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when the ball of light went up into the sky and just kind of flittered off. I was like, what just happened there?
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about the last 4 weeks, Brian has been manipulated by the debris.
Yeah.
Three and four weeks ago, we had the two-part Monster of the Week episode, which was pointless, other than Brian got involved and it was, oh, Fanola, I want to get back to you. Okay, that came out of left field. Last week, we get his flashback. Come to find out, he's had past dealings with the debris. He because of this, you know, it tried to connect with him for whatever reason. I mean, and now this week, which was kind of a continuation of last week. And, you know, I've been crying for the mythology, but I'm sorry I got what I asked for, because it's not that good. it just doesn't make any sense. It's just kind of like everything,
yeah.
Nothing happens fluidly. There's no fluidity to this at all. It's, this is what is going on because this is what we're telling you, as opposed to letting it evolve. And some shows go with good, and some shows don't. When you have to shove it down our throats, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I feel like it's not.
One thing, sorry, I was just going to say, because he wasn't here when I mentioned. The one good thing, though, is at least we finally learned what that piece of debris was for, finding out where all the other debris is, that it's like a map or whatever. I thought,
we kind of saw that coming, though.
Yeah, but at least they finally told that, even if it wasn't all that interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No, you know, at least I mean, we were talking about how kind of disappointed we are in Brian and his behavior. I mean, maybe the whole bit where he sees the woman who died last week, and which is kind of, I mean, whatever. We'll talk about why does the debris manifest this person, not that person, but like Brian making some very bad decisions. And then Jamie says, you know, and Jamie's got a point, by the end, Brian's the believer and Fanola's the skeptic.
Yeah.
Which is kind of not where all this came from, which I guess is kind of interesting, but kind of not that much. And meanwhile, they're leaving George to his own. Like, what is with, like, George's, like, so I think they want you to believe George is crazy, and yet I kind of think wearing a tinfoil suit is maybe a smart idea, right? Like, George has himself completely dressed in tinfoil, and you're supposed to think he's nuts, but he's very smart, and I think maybe we all should be wearing tinfoil suits around this stuff, right? Like, Jamie and I talked about those orange suits that the agents wear, which kind of, I mean, I guess they look cool, but they don't really make that much sense to me. And, you know, it appears to be maybe Tinfoil is just as useful at repelling Ligari, whatever. Although George, you know, I don't know. George is wearing that. Jamie and I actually, now you're making me think, Jamie. I'm making you think. We had this conversation about, like, how did, you know, the blonde woman who is Maddox's contact, how did she know that George found the piece? And I said, oh, because they're bugging the entire lab, but he's wearing tinfoil to sort of stop them from learning that.
Wait. Okay, how do we know the blonde did? That's what my question was. Was she the one that called Influx? That was my question to you.
Oh, she called Influx? I thought she called George.
No,
she called
Influx. Saying, how do we know the blonde? I don't know, because she didn't tell Maddox that, did she? I didn't know the blonde was the one that found out. The only thing I remember is the Influx agent. I remember the one Influx agent saying to Anson, George found it. But I don't think it showed who called him. You're saying it was the blonde? I don't remember what they showed the blonde doing. I thought the blonde just talked to Matt. Remember?
Who can remember? The show was so bad. I mean, I guess, whatever. I mean, the idea is that somehow they're on, whatever. Whoever, someone is on to George.
I would think tinfoil's to keep out the agents, not necessarily the government, but I don't know.
George is constantly looking for tinfoil and, like, covering himself in tinfoil.
Maybe he's hoping
now,
to be used in a silk way.
Is it to protect himself? No, I mean, he's trying to not be tracked.
No, I know. Something,
now,
yeah.
Is he trying to not be tracked by, I don't know, why are we even getting into this? We are taking way too much time talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
That's what happens when you try and understand things.
I know. I shouldn't try to understand stuff. It's just not worth it. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. So all around the bad episode, all of us didn't like it. And it's funny because it's supposed to be this major, like, bunch of developments are happening, right? And we all are like, yeah, whatever. AJI was complaining that I feel like, I forgot their name again, the bad guys. Influx.
You cannot.
Right? Influx. I can't remember their name, and Ash are kind of boring to me because I don't know anything about their motivation or their goals. I really didn't like how Anson was, like, able to – so he's got bits of debris, I guess, that's inside his body. Like, I can't believe that no one ever x-rayed him before now, right? And they x-ray him, and they find out he's got this stuff, like, in his body because he, like, fakes a seizure. And then, you know, come to find out that he is able to, like – jump to, I don't know. I don't even know what I
wherever
want to say
he
happened
like.
Here. But he's able to jump to wherever he feels like. He jumps to wherever he feels like, and he escapes. I don't know why he waited until now. I don't know.
Well, I figured maybe it was connected to whatever was going on and got activated, but I don't know that that makes sense. So, but we'll just go with that.
I mean, yeah, he bloops and gets away, which is fine, I guess. But again, boring because he basically has superpowers. He's basically magic because they haven't explained anything to us. I'm unable to really understand what's up with that, right? Because they don't bother to tell us.
No, that's the answer. Magic. That's what's up with it. It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic. The answer is magic. So that's all a little, annoying. And I just think they're not good villains because I would prefer if they, if I had a little bit of idea what we were up against and why. Like, as far as we know, they're just trying to buy debris and sell it, right? That's all we know?
I don't really know.
We don't know anything.
No, we don't know anything. Bad. I do not wish to watch a second season of this. I'm really disappointed, and I'm thinking back to Fringe, the other J.H. Wyman show, where they did have a lot of, it begins with that plane lands and everybody's dead and all this sort of mysterious stuff happens. And they spend some time delving into that and spending some time, like, establishing their mystery and our people. And I just feel like we could have been, I don't know. It frustrates me that this far in, I still have no idea. I think they're not doing a good job of building our, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
I'm not watching this season of it for sure.
Weekly episodes.
No, I'm not either.
I said there's two case of the week episodes, not enough mythology, and when we have got mythology, it hasn't actually told us anything we needed to know.
Yeah, that's a very, very good summary.
Thank you. All right, well,
you're
maybe
welcome.
We should move on.
Let's move on.
Yes.
There's one more episode, next season finale, so that's it,
next
and then we'll find
finale.
Out what I think on the bubble.
Find out nothing. Oh, yeah, it's not renewed
probably.
Yet, right? Not yet
no,
renewed.
I don't know what the ratings are, so I don't know. I'm not the person who remembers what ratings are, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move
right.
on. Do you want to Big Sky mm-hmm. next?
Yeah, let's
yeah.
talk about Big Sky.
Okay.
Holy shit, Big Sky.
Big Sky, what happened this week? We got another dead
big
brother.
Big stuff.
And,
big stuff
happened.
Yeah.
Oh,
we have all dead brothers. They're all dead.
Yeah, you're right, they are. Well, yeah, they are all dead, you're right. I think about that, I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, they are all dead, you're right. Well, I think, should we start with the brothers first, or should we start with Ronald?
Sure, let's start with the brothers first.
Okay. So, JD, whatever the heck his name is, no.
JW, John Wayne.
No, I know, but I'm trying to mix up. So, Rand, I was going to say, when he went after, I still mix the two girls up, but when he went after her, he ended up hurting himself and pretty much dies. There wasn't really a lot with that. But JW gets killed when he fights with
Cheyenne.
And he's already been told by his father. At one point, his father's like, you're not getting the ranch anyway. But I think Cheyenne was, I guess the main thing is that she was trying to pick the ball against her, and her and her mother could end up on out of the club. But, yeah, I don't know.
I go ahead, AJ, how did you feel about all this, like, Hassan Pfeffer family, Hassan whoever family?
Klein Saucer.
Klein Saucer, yeah.
Holy crap. Like, I said this last week that I thought it was going to be, you know, like, this was going to be, like, the story for next season, and they were setting it up. But no, they just completely did an entire season in about, what have we had on this back half, 6 episodes?
Yeah.
And it's all wrapped up, and who gives a shit? Because there was no mystery. Everything was very translucent. It was just, I was like, why did they ask for 6 more episodes of the show when this is all we got? Unless they're like, well, we can't just follow Harold Ronald around for 6 episodes, so we got to come up with another story? I don't understand it.
I mean, so now that it's over, looking at it, I found it very violent and very dysfunctional. I mean, incredibly violent. This is a show about, like, human trafficking and serial killing, and I found this to be the disturbingly violent, like, storyline, right?
can we talk about, real quick, Kathy and Jenny, when they're running away at the beginning of the episode? Let's split up. Really?
Yeah,
that's your bright idea?
Bad idea. Yeah. Bad idea. I found all of those people to be really, I mean, there's not a single person in the Klein Saucer family who's who I joined sympathy with, including even, I mean, I was prepared to really feel sympathetic to Michelle Forbes. And one thing that really,
I like her.
One thing that really disappointed me about this episode is the way it ended kind of without resolution. So it ends with, we had a lot of buildup, and I was hoping we might get to see the mother kill the father or the mother have some sort of resolution or revenge, or not that it would ever be okay, but you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I felt like it ends, right? And it ends in this incredibly violent manner where John Wayne attacks Cheyenne, and Cheyenne shoots him. And I'm not even really sure if, so was it an accident? Was it in self-defense? Like, what really happened there? We don't really know. We don't get to see. And there's no, I mean, we don't really get to see the mother, you know, now her third son is dead. All of her sons are killed. And, like, especially I don't get to see the father have any, like, I don't know. They asked me to invest in this horrible family for the whole season, and then, like, this happens, and they're like, boom, let's go to Ronald, right?
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, out of all that, I agree. They totally didn't even, because I don't even think they went back to the mother at the end. They just showed that he was going to get arrested.
Yeah. Michelle Forbes was criminally wasted in this show.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
right?
Don't forget, there's one more episode. She could shine next week.
Maybe, yeah. I want to say a couple things. The one thing is, I was surprised. Jenny and I still can't keep them straight. I'm sorry. The one that's from Viking.
Jenny Cassie.
Jenny's white.
Which one?
Jenny's
white.
Black.
Cassie's black.
Okay, Jenny.
You can say it.
Okay, so Jenny.
It's not racist.
First of all, I understand that she's doesn't back down. Okay, I get that. But whenever the father's sitting there threatening to put her in a barrel like the other bodies and that, and she's just like continually, like he's basically kind of saying, I'm going to let you go, but if you do anything, I'm going to kill you. Like most people in their right mind would be like, okay, and, you know, go. But she never backs down to a fault where it's like people understand that she attacked him in that moment. Like Cheyenne came in and was like, no, we're leaving. And I feel like she could have left with Cheyenne, but instead she decides to attack him. And I didn't quite understand that move. Not that it really mattered in the end, but that part kind of irritated me a little bit because she didn't just like take care of it later. But the part that I did like a lot was the ending with, not the ending, but the end of that part with Cassie and Jenny, that the sheriff is obviously going to get it too, but not that fact that they got that asshat guy who acts like, oh, I saved you. I was supposed to kill you, which, okay, we didn't know that. Yeah, he didn't kill her. Granted, that doesn't make what he did okay. But I liked how, like, they recorded him, and it's like, no, you know, it's not the end because he still thought he'd get away with it. So I liked that whole thing where the sheriff's going down and the deputy's going down and all that. I did like that little bit at the end when they were driving away.
You know what, though? I had one big problem with that, actually. Yeah.
They didn't shoot her?
Yeah. They just told you that you're done, that you've got a recording of you threatening them, and you scoff and drive away.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he's going to pack a bag.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't even.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He was kind of like, away and drives away. I'm like, wait a minute, what? You're done, bud.
I'm shooting somebody. Yeah. If I'm going down, I might as well go down for doing it. And if I shoot them,
well,
who's going to give the cops the tape?
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. I like that.
I mean, yes, it was satisfying to see that happen, for sure.
Yes.
Definitely. And yeah, Jamie, I did like it because that guy's horrible also, and, you know, he deserves it. But it was a little bit of,
yeah.
Why doesn't he just, like, after all the people he's killed and been a part of killing and everything, he just sort of lets that happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he just sort of, like, lets it, like, to AJ's point, he doesn't even try to get it away from her. Like, you could pull out your gun and be like, give that to me or I'll shoot you. He just drives away. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
that was kind of dumb. The one thing I want to comment on before I forget, unless we're still talking about that, this is about Ron and them, but I want
to
make a comment.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Were you guys annoyed? I really like Jerry. I've liked Jerry through this whole thing. But he totally ruined everything. I'm like, he's sneaking in there, and she pulls up, and I'm like, oh, God. So I was just like, she ruined it. They were being so quiet. And it's like, well, now they know she's there. I don't know.
Oh, well, because it's ludicrous that he would allow her to accompany him. Right?
And he gives her a gun.
Well,
you do not
the thing is,
a million times. Hey, do you know how to use this? But, you know, don't...
But she went on her own.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Because it ended up being more local. I mean, he initially... I mean, she was already there at that point.
No.
He was like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And, yeah, I like her. And I like those two as partners a lot.
Yeah, I do. I do too.
Yeah, they've got good chemistry.
I mean, the bigger thing was that... So, the girlfriend, what's her name? Sasha, Shannon,
fat,
I can't
her name. Fat shit crazy.
Scarlet?
Yeah. Scarlet, thank
Scarlet.
You. Scarlet is, like, freaking out that they're going to find her dead ex-boyfriend's body. So Scarlet is a little bit like Ronald. Like, I don't love how they're trying to make this happen, but... I do like how Scarlett kind of makes it Mary's fault. Like, she's like, oh, Mary's been holding this over me for my whole life. She's such a jerk. And I'm like, okay, what, that you killed someone? Yeah, she's holding over your head.
That makes Mary kind of bad, too, though, but.
No, but so Mary knew about it. I was trying to remember. I didn't think that Mary knew about it.
Yes, Mary knew about it.
It's in Mary's freezer.
It's in Mary's freezer.
No, I know she's
I think
in
Mary.
But I remember her saying Mary knew it. I don't know.
Mary knew it.
That part.
Okay. First of all, do you think Mary didn't notice for 8 years that she had a locked freezer in her basement? But Mary knew about it.
With a dead body in it?
And
supposed to forgive.
Scarlett says, oh, Mary's been holding this over my head for a long time. She's got that same sort of thing of Ronald that, it's not her fault. It's always somebody else's fault, right?
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Boyfriend did dirty things to her. That was her.
I mean, I did sort of, but she's creepy, and she's sort of, I mean, we knew she was going to turn out to be crazy and, you know, attracted to Ronald because he's a killer, and she basically is like, I knew who you were from the start. I cannot believe that a woman who has, like, who has a daughter that age would actually feel okay with a human trafficker in our house, right? And she's like, oh, Ronald, I knew who you are from the start. We're the same. I really like you. You did what you have to do, blah, 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 blah. I mean, yeah, that shit crazy, as AJ says.
Because she killed her sister, she may not feel the same when she finds that out.
She may not.
She may.
She may.
Oh, you did something
it
I was thinking
like
about doing.
That reminds me, I think we totally know where this is going, right, by the preview, that he's going to make it like she was innocent.
That girl is innocent?
I didn't see the previews, but whatever.
Yeah. Because I think he's going to be like, I kidnapped her or whatever, when he turns in, because I think he turns himself in, and I don't think they actually show what happens, but that's what I think happens. I think he's going to make it like she had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, because I think she needs to get out of the show, because where we're going from here is Ronald's in custody, and now people are trying to, like, find out what Ronald knows, and, you know, Ronald's like, he's like, do you think you understand me? You can't figure me out, and, like, there's more than we knew about going on is what we're going to find out, right? But it's all kind of, I don't know, it's a little unfortunate that we're not going to see a shootout with Ronald just being killed, because, like, I mean, there's a level on which I feel like it's time for Ronald to go, right? and I wouldn't mind seeing the storyline put to bed, but he definitely is going to be, you know, he's alive and under police questioning next week, and it kind of, you know, it blows it in terms of wondering what's going to happen in the scene. Like, once again, the show, like, all network promo people sort of blow it. Where the episode left off is, you know, with the marshal and Jerry kind of sneaking up, and we're not gonna we know where that's gonna end.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say we've talked about how we thought that maybe this was going to become the sort of buddy cop. I feel like this show would have been a lot better, and granted, there's a lot of things that would make this show better, like better writing, you know. But I feel like this show would have been better if it was like, not that we necessarily, and I know you guys don't like watching shows that are like procedural, but I think this show would work better as like short stories, like maybe like if there was like a story that was like a few episodes long, not
well, that's what the client saucers were.
Right, but I mean, it's still, they've had like two stories all season. Like, I feel like the show would work better if each of these stories had been like a lot shorter. Like, I don't think we would have been so annoyed with Ronald at this point if they had wrapped it up a lot sooner. You know what I mean? Like, they drag it all on. I feel like I could get behind that show because we've said before, I like Cassie. I like Jenny. I like their dynamic. I really like Jerry, and I like the Marshall, too. But it's like everything is so drawn out. Like, it's over the top, and it's okay that it is, as much as the show's crazy. We know it's that way. It's way over the top. But like, I'm okay with it being over the top. I mean, it's one of those shows that we watch, and we know it's not going to be intelligent necessarily. But we can still enjoy
it.
And that's okay. Although there's a difference, I feel like, between this show, which you know is over the top, and like something like Fear of the Walking Dead, when it goes bad and it's just bad writing, it's bad writing. Like, this is made to be that kind of show, if that makes sense. Like, you know you're watching that kind of show.
I know what you mean.
It's meant to be schlocky,
Hey, like, it's like a, I can't think of the word, but it's like a, I still can't think of the word. That you watch, but like, you know that when you're watching it, like, that's what it is.
This is a guilty pleasure, except it's not
that's
pleasurable.
What I'm trying to think of, guilty pleasure. Exactly, guilty pleasure. You know that it's crazy, and it's okay that it's crazy, but it's crazy in like a, it's meant to be, well, we hope it's meant to be crazy way.
Yeah.
Not just like horrible writing for the sake of horrible writing, but I think that all of it all out way too long. Like, I think the stuff at the beginning with the trafficking and with Ronald and all that was good, and the sheriff guy, and I think the stuff with this Klein Sucker, whatever their name is, family, was okay. Klein Sucker family would have been okay if it wasn't stretched out so much. Klein Sucker, it isn't Klein Sucker either, because we kept Klein Sucker.
Yeah, I mean, the Klein Sucker became like,
no,
they got way too much airtime for what they deserved, I think, right?
Why couldn't they put Michelle Forbes in? They should have just had Michelle Forbes be, you know, the main part of that, and then it would have been good.
Yeah, she's underused in this. It's I'm looking forward to it, to ending next week. I can't watch another season of this show either. It really, the things that, do you remember how much I hated it for like the first 2 weeks? And then I was like, wow, the show, we all thought the show got really good and we were really into it for a while. And it's kind of since it came back that it really has tanked in a lot of ways.
This is the kind of show I'd rather watch all in one sitting or all in a couple sittings. Like, it's not something I want to stretch out for a whole season. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
They need to short.
I mean, I do want us to keep in mind, I guess, that these six episodes were, I don't want to say hastily added, but they kind of were. Like, this was supposed to be a 10-episode season, right? And then the show did well, and then the network's like, hey, let's order six more. And they ordered six more, and the Kleinstaffers are the next six. They weren't part of the original vision, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, and maybe six was wrong. Maybe they should have been, just held it and written a whole new season and given us 10 or 12, or I don't really know. But these six are inferior to what we saw earlier, right?
Yeah. Is there only one left, or is there more? Because next week's the
next
sixth,
week,
or the one tonight.
Finale.
That's what I thought.
Right?
The season
is next week? Yeah.
I think it's tonight, isn't it? I get so confused.
Oh, tonight,
what's
yeah.
On what day.
Well,
it's
yeah,
on.
Technically
it's on right
tonight.
It's on
yeah.
while
yeah.
we died.
I
mm-hmm.
know, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah.
It's on while we talk. Yeah. Okay. Well, we sort of rambled all over that thing because it was a rambly mess.
Ronald and what's your face? We didn't really talk a whole lot about Scarlett.
Nothing to talk about.
What about the story that he told the little girl? Like, this girl should be old enough; she should know better. But I don't know. People
well,
on
yeah.
TV, but he's like,
story about the deer?
Secret or the or whatever it is. The animal won't go to heaven if you tell somebody it's buried there. All righty.
So, I mean, we talked about this last week that we all sort of predicted he's going to say, oh, it's a deer. I do agree with you that he speaks to her like a 3 or 4 year old, and she's actually 8 or 9 years old, right? And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, so, AJ, I don't know how old your youngest is right now. Is he 8 or 9 years?
Seven.
Is he 7, Damon?
7.
So, I feel
yeah.
like he's probably far more sophisticated than this child we're seeing on television, right?
Yes.
I was going to say, let's hope so.
I think Jamie has a point. He talks to her like she's a 3 or 4 year old, and she goes with it. And really, like, what the hell? She should have a...
Ronald talks to everybody like that.
Well, he does. He does. He talks to everybody like that. But I feel like this kid, although I think the kid was like, yeah, whatever. The kid clearly was like, this dude's a creep, and I'm not buying this. But she went along with it.
Yeah.
Maybe she had a sense that
yeah.
maybe she knows he's a killer. Phoebe knows he's a killer, even if nobody else does, right?
Yeah. The kid was like, I'm not saying anything because I don't want to be next.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. When he was holding the rock over her head, Artie's like, oh my
yeah.
God, what is he doing? I said, he's not going to kill us. He's
yeah,
going to think
really
about it. He's going to change his mind. He's not going to do
yeah.
it.
I'm putting God off the grave, yeah, my ass.
Yeah, yeah. He was going to do it, and then he didn't do it. Which, yeah, we knew he wasn't going to do it, right? There's no that we talked about it last week. That's not the show that we're watching, where someone like nails a kid with a rock. But we'll never see that kid again because the show is. I mean, she's done. Her part in the show is done.
Thank God.
Right? Like, that sort of, I mean, Ronald's being taken
to
custody.
Not that it matters.
We'll
we have one episode left. I'm not watching next season anyway.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't either. I can't watch another. I mean, maybe if I read some reviews after 2 or 3 episodes and it was fantastic next year, but I feel like this is not that show. We had a good run this season. We had a good first 6 episodes, and we should have stopped right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on. Let's not give it any more of our time.
Yeah, let's move on to Manifest.
Let's talk about Manifest, which, again, was probably the best show of the week. Ah, no, Walking Dead was not that bad. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Walking Dead was decent. Manifest was a little messed up this week. And can I just say, last week I said single white female. And Angelina continues to go single white female on Olive.
Okay.
I mean, this is almost exactly the movie. Not
if
really,
that's where we're
going to
start,
you know.
I have a huge question.
Yeah?
Did we miss an episode? I feel like we missed an episode.
Why? What did we miss?
Because why is Olive, like, this single white female thing just started last week, okay?
Right.
Nobody knew that she was acting this way. Okay, this episode, Olive is rolling her eyes at her, being dismissive, out of nowhere. Olive wasn't even around last week. I feel like something happened off screen and they forgot to tell the rest of us.
Well,
like,
I mean,
just everything just happened.
I agree with you, kind of. Like, I do think, remember how Angelina, like, almost was going to go to the prom, and then she was like, oh, I won't go to the prom, whatever. Like, and we were like, yeah, she shouldn't go to the prom. She's, like, 22. So I agree with you that I think they advanced it rather quickly. And for Olive to suddenly be like, oh, you told, I mean, there was like a 30-day jump in this episode. There was a point where someone, I noticed in the episode that, like,
yeah, they
maybe it's Ben or someone says it's been 30 some odd days. I can't, right? Jamie, didn't somebody, do you guys remember
yeah.
that? Somebody said.
Yeah, I remember it.
Oh.
I forget what it was, but it was just like a throwaway comment. I don't remember when it was. Definitely about like since that had happened.
Yeah, it's a throwaway comment, but it mentions it's been like 30 or 40 days.
Yeah,
really?
The last
yeah, okay.
Some odd
then there you go.
Some odd days have gone
there's,
by.
There's the answer. I missed it. I didn't realize that there had been another time jump. So that explains.
You know, fine.
Yeah.
That explains it then.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
sorry, that's ridiculous.
It's hard to catch sometimes. It is, but yeah, I think there's
been
like a.
It might have been something that I think that was like 30 days since. That guy kidnapped him or something, he had said. Like, it was, like, 30 days since he's seen that guy or something like that.
So
there was a
since,
comment.
Since Ben is
but,
an eager,
or no,
but
maybe
yeah,
it was
some sort of a
long,
comment.
Maybe it was how long What's-His-Face had been dating that girl or something. Or something like I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever. It is. It's a throwaway comment.
Yeah. I just want to say, I had a different feeling, I think, about this episode before I watched, like, the whole thing and then thought it through. Because the first comment I thought, like when I was watching, I thought it's really stupid that the whole thing that Sanvi had to do, like her way to fix the lifeboat was to tell the truth. And I thought that was kind of lame. And it is still kind of lame. But I thought about it, though, and I mean, in the sense of the story, it kind of makes sense. Because, I mean, it's about redeeming yourself in that. And I don't know that. I do appreciate, too, that she's like, says, I can't redeem myself from this. I do like that because we always say you can't like somebody and then it's over. But in the scheme of things, coming clean about what she did and admitting that she was wrong actually kind of makes sense with what screwed the lifeboat. You know what I mean? Like, the more I thought about it, the more it made sense in the scheme of the story. It was still a little lame. But it made more sense the more I thought about it. But I do hope that they don't just kind of, like, pass it off. Like, oh, it's okay, you murdered this lady. We'll just forget about it.
I don't think
they're
going to because
I mean, granted,
Michaela was going to, and but Sanvi says to her, she's like, I betrayed my profession. Don't you betray yours.
Yeah, I'd like
so
that.
I don't think it's going to get swept under the rug that easily.
Yeah, but they might pull her out of jail just because they want her to use her as a scientist. They have sway. They're high up in the government. So they can make it go away. I don't know.
It's a little bit lame for Sanvi that, you know, it's not really about her brilliant science. It's about, okay, so it was. Like, Sanvi, she discovered the whole sapphire thing on her own. But when push comes to shove this week, it is that she is magic is why she's able to, like, all this stuff happens in the office or in the lab, right? So that's a little,
you know,
I don't know. A lot of
sci-fi are about magic. You need to stop watching sci-fi. You don't like magic.
I know. But you know what I mean? That it's because Sanvi's an A2-8er. It's because Sanvi's an A2-8er that she is able to achieve the result in the lab. Not because she's she's really smart or whatever. And I feel bad for her in that respect because Sanvi's, like, she's a good, I mean, she's a super scientist. She, like, she can cure cancer. She can do everything. She can be a genetic. She can do genetics. She can do everything on the show, right? And so I do feel a little bad for her that for her character, that it's turning out maybe that it's more about her being an A2-8er.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but she, like, that hasn't gone there yet, but maybe it will.
Speaking of magic with Sanvi, I felt like all episode that what the stuff she was doing was going to give her callings back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she cheated the death date by getting rid of her callings. I think she just made it harder for herself to be a part of the lifeboat. And not for nothing, I like the analogy, but I'm getting tired of Ben calling it the lifeboat every 30 fucking seconds. It's getting
and
really
expecting everyone to understand it. Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree.
Like, the lifeboat. The lifeboat. The lifeboat. The lifeboat. The lifeboat. It's like, Ben, shut the hell up.
To interrupt,
we get it, Ben.
Comment of saying something like that, the bleed when they were talking about the Egyptian stuff or the stuff on the that artwork, didn't they basically say that like the bleeding eyes and that was a symptom of not having the calling because she could, like, that was how it came out because she didn't have a calling or something? I thought that that was what they were implying. Okay, I just was curious. I said
no.
AJ says no. I don't know, that's how I understood it, but I don't know.
I mean,
what did you say?
I thought,
Aaron,
I thought her eyes were bleeding because she can't get the calling anymore.
Right.
And then, but then we heard this. I mean, that's what I thought. But then we got this other story about the lion and the whole like mythology.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. But I did think that it was partly because she's like cut herself off from the calling, and that's why her eyes are bleeding. But then it turned out to be a little something different, I guess.
It was just another biblical way for them to get Michaela involved.
True.
Basically.
Now what about this fact that Grace is like, is this thing telling you you're supposed to kick people off the lifeboat? That kind of surprised me that she said that, and like, well, that's where they're going with it. That's kind of an interesting thought, that maybe the people that they don't want to be part of it, they can just kind of drown.
Well, it's completely plausible. I mean, you think that many people just gave themselves up for the greater good?
No, but I feel like when she said that, she's like, are you supposed to kick them out? I feel like Ben was kind of thinking, like, well, I hadn't thought about that till now when she said that. Did you feel
Not that you're supposed to kick them off, but how are you sure they didn't kick them off, I think, is kind of what she says.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that picture there in the water, are you really sure that they didn't just kick them off? I hadn't thought about that. He hadn't thought about that. And I guess it takes, like, someone like Grace, who's not an intuitor, to think about it. And it made sense.
Takes a person like Grace, who's an idiot.
Grace is a bad person.
That's why she thought of it.
I mean, yeah, I do think it is true that they're not supposed to kick people off the lifeboat. If it's a lifeboat, you're not supposed to kick people off, probably, right? Like, I mean, if it's true that they sink or swim together, then you can't kick people off. But maybe you should, right? Like, maybe let's kick some people off and they won't drag us down. I mean, obviously, I think that guy, Egan, Egan is just the worst, right? And Ben is an idiot. Like, Ben has this guy in his house who is untrustworthy, and Ben continually turns his back so that Egan can be like, let me steal a jump drive, which, you know, by the way, I just threw, like, 8 jump drives in the recycling today because who, like, uses a jump drive anymore?
I do all the time.
I get rid of. Do you? I don't use one that much anymore. Although I haven't traveled. I mean, just when I travel to other offices, I might start using it again.
It depends on your transfer and files.
But I was like, Ben, like, why are you turning your back on this guy that you hate and don't trust? I mean, Egan, here's the thing about Egan. Egan's either really a bad guy, or he's a guy that appears to be bad, but is going to turn out to be like a trusted partner, right?
Well, I think he kind of has to be, otherwise he's going to sink the fucking lifeboat.
Yeah. I mean, and he appears to be the guy who's going to sink the lifeboat, but he's probably not. He's probably not the guy who's going to sink the lifeboat. He's probably...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he doesn't... I mean, they've all got... I don't know. This whole lifeboat thing is going to get... They've got a fine line they're walking here because, like Egan points out... I mean, Egan, I feel like actually... has kind of taken on that audience persona because there are hundreds of people that were on that flight, and you can't – with some of the people, you don't even know where the hell they are. How do you know they haven't already put a hole in the lifeboat?
Well, yeah, it's like 180-some-odd people, right? And they don't all live in New York. So, yeah.
Right.
We don't know. It's probably not – the case anyway, because we have another, we know we have another season, and things will probably change again. But, I mean, Egan, I don't know, I feel like Egan's maybe not, I mean, he's definitely a dick and an unpleasant person, but I don't think he's necessarily, like, going to sink the lifeboat. I think it might be a little bit of a red herring there.
Well, I think he's going to – he's actually very helpful because he has a knack for figuring out the callings. He's just a jerk.
It helps that he has a – he has a photographic memory, right?
Eidetic,
which is helpful.
Yeah.
Even that or eidetic memory than the other.
Yeah, so that really helps. But he's just – I mean, he could be – like, he doesn't have to be a bad guy. He could be just a dick, right? He's just a dick. He's just a jerk.
Yeah.
He's just not a cool guy. That doesn't make him, and he doesn't trust Ben, but I think he actually sometimes makes some good points about his not trusting of Ben. And I'm like, oh, actually, you kind of have a good point. Like, Ben,
well, that's like I
told
said,
me what to do
he's
and not
kind
explaining
of,
shit. And yeah,
he's kind of the persona of the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying all the stuff that we think. He's just more of a jerk about
Or that we should be thinking and haven't really thought about yet. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, this is kind of something else I just want to bring up. What do we think about Zeke's feelings about Sarah? He thinks she's a good person. Do we believe that? Like, how do you guys feel about that? I mean, I'm not sure that him getting good vibes from her necessarily tells whether she's good or bad in the sense of what we need to know. You know what I mean? Like, he feels – I feel like the feelings he gets are what's going on in that moment. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I take it. So I feel like just because she's a good person and she helps out Beverly doesn't necessarily mean she's a good person or not bad or not involved or one way or the other. What do you think?
Yeah, what you just said.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean – I agree. I think on the day that you visit your ex's ex and go to that dinner for the first time, of course you're going to be nice, and of course you're going to help Beverly. It doesn't mean that you don't have an ulterior motive and that you're not – you're the major's daughter. It doesn't mean that she doesn't know what the major's up to and have a motive. Just because she's nice to this old lady doesn't mean she's still not trying to work.
Right.
She can have genuine feelings, genuinely good feelings towards Beverly – and still be, right? Like, I feel like Zeke's power cannot be absolute. We're going to see that Zeke's power. Zeke keeps saying, I can't control it. I don't turn it on. I don't this. I don't that.
Like
so
I like
your
I
idea,
like
Jamie.
Into a person. I think it just shows what that person's feeling, not
yeah,
more
I like your
less.
Idea that he gets the emotion she feels in the moment and not her ulterior total moment. Like
yes.
In that moment, she had kind feelings toward Beverly, and in the moment, she had kind feelings towards Jared. Doesn't mean that she's not. I'm totally trying to like. She could be conflicted. Like I'm totally trying to use this guy Jared because I'm the major's daughter, but he's kind of nice, and I do kind of like him. And right then is when Zeke tunes in, right?
Yeah. That's
what was really interesting was that Beverly had the same power for a moment there, almost, right?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I was confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there.
I thought he would just, what he said didn't make sense, and I just kind of ignored it, to be honest. I forgot about it. I thought, that doesn't make sense, and I moved on.
Well, and also, you don't know if it's real. Like, there's this moment where Beverly says, like, she doesn't love you. She thought you had one day to live. It's nothing like having 12 years. And then he's like, oh, my God, wait, did you just get my feelings? So there's a part of me that thought, okay, people routinely have callings where people say stuff they didn't really say, right? Like, it's not, like sometimes the calling is almost like a hallucination, right? So could that have happened? Although I feel like when Zeke said, are you feeling what I'm secretly thinking? Like, so this is what Zeke is, like, we're going to have the storyline where Zeke is feeling insecure compared to Jared.
Maybe.
Right.
Well, did he touch, like, maybe it's just like a two-way thing. Was he touching her when it happened? Because I was wondering that. Like, maybe it's like he can feel somebody else, but if he's touching them, they can feel him or something. Or maybe it was just
possible.
Something she deserved. I mean, it might just be because he's doesn't necessarily have that. I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird he said that and didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, and this is a conversation that we've had before. Like, do you think that Michaela, like, you know, Michaela was in love with him, all right, but she thought he only had a day to live when she, or, you know, when she married him, or she thought he was dying when she was in love with him. And, like, do we think that Michaela would have felt the same way if he wasn't dying? I mean, I think so. I mean, I personally, I think it's well established that she's in love with him and not in love with Jared anymore. But
yeah,
it's possible, I guess, that if she didn't have this sort of, like, feeling about him dying, would she have been in love with him? I don't know. I mean,
I think it's more
Zeke seems to think, right? I mean, the more important part is, like, does Zeke really feel that way? I think so, right? It's like Beverly was...
Mm-hmm.
Beverly was reflecting that. Was it really Beverly, or was it a calling kind of thing where people say shit that didn't, like, Michaela saw herself with her eyes bleeding. She wasn't really bleeding. It was a hallucination-y kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's that. I mean, I'm kind of not that interested in that because, you know, I continue to think that Zeke is a pretty boring person. He's not my favorite character. He's kind of bleh. Although I'm not really interested in a love triangle either. Like, I don't want to see. Like, okay, the Michaela Jared Zeke thing ran for the right amount of time. I don't want it to be a 2-3 season thing. It ran for the right amount of time and then it resolved itself in a decent way, I think. Right? Like, we don't want to see a multi-season.
Or at least I'm not interested in that, so I don't want
to
keep
Yeah, no,
it.
I think this is just, I think this has more to, do with the Major's daughter. I'm still not sold on that. Until something happens in some way, shape, or form that I am told it's take it at face value, I'm not. I think everybody's feelings, you know, the story arc that you talked about, that's done and gone. You know, her and Jared are still going to be friends. I mean, they're still colleagues, you know, they have a history.
Yeah.
It's not just going to go away. So, I mean, this little, you know, dinner made perfect sense. I'd like to see Michaela be a little more suspicious of this chick though. You know, for somebody that's usually suspicious of everybody, not suspicious of the Major's daughter.
Right. And not just relying on Zeke's vibes. Like, is Zeke going to be like, I got a good vibe from her. Okay, she's fine. Like, I agree with you.
And
there's no way she's not dangerous.
And again, my whole thing goes back to, I understand her mother worked for the NSA, but her mother is dead. They don't have to tell her how or why. They just need to tell her that her mother's dead. That's not something you keep from her. And keep, you know, it's not like they have the Major's body locked up in a freezer somewhere until the right moment.
Oh, because they told Jared that her body was found outside New Orleans. They haven't told the daughter
right.
yet? Oh, yeah, that's bullshit. If they want, I mean, that's Vance not being
But that's what I'm saying. No, Jared told her.
Stupid. Just tell her. But Jared told her.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So why didn't the NSA tell her? It's, you know what I mean? It's like...
Right. Yeah,
it's
her
not
parents
like
and employer.
That was kind of
like, why did her parents' employer? Go ahead.
No, I just said if they didn't want him to tell her, he wouldn't have. The fact that whole stance telling him this is what really happened, I thought was kind of lame to begin with. Like, you're right. If they were going to tell him this is the truth, and they weren't making it like it was a big secret, they would have told. Because I mean, they're going to make something up. But they would have told the daughter something happened. I feel like they would have just let it go on forever.
Well, shouldn't they have some sort of formal thing where the family of a covert agent or a quasi-military, she's called the Major. She obviously has a military history. They wouldn't be like, oh, your mother died in service to the country. Here's a medal. Here's a flag for the coffin.
Uh-huh.
Like, why would they not, like, make it as good as they can to show, like, okay, not only is it the right thing to do for someone who's given a life of service to the country, but it's a way to make her feel okay and shut her up and not investigate it anymore. Like, you're the NSA. You want her to feel good about her mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
She didn't even know her mother was dead. She just thought she was missing.
Well, yeah.
Right. But she would have kept looking. They would have finally just been like, hey, she's dead. Quit looking.
That's what I'm getting at.
I mean,
that's my point, though. That's my point why I don't – I think there's more to this because I can't see them not having told her.
Well, and I think, I mean, we know there's no way this goes without further consequences for Sandy. There's no way you just, like, tell Michaela and that it's over and the lifeboat forgives you and you go on with your life, right? Like, obviously. And I don't think telling Michaela is sufficient therapy for Sandy. Sandy's very torn about it, right? And her BFF, Vance, who's the new worst character on the show because of how they've mismanaged him, I just keep hoping that Vance
has become
a plan. Do you think Vance is being a jerk on purpose?
I hope so, but he's become I think they've been writing him poorly because he's become very uneven.
Yeah.
And I also still think the smoke at Eureka that they keep seeing.
Yeah.
It's something they haven't figured out yet. Like, there's something else going on there, and I don't think Vance knows what it is. When Michaela was talking to him about, you know, something else going on, and it wasn't just him protecting Sanvi's secret, I think there's something else, and I don't think Vance is aware. I think that doctor has something going on that she hasn't told everybody else about yet. Like, she got one secret up her sleeve.
So I don't know, Jamie. I think, AJ, you're probably right because they're making that doctor be such a jerk, right? And then every now and then she's a little nice to Sanvi, but only when she's like, okay, Sanvi, you try it. Let's see if you touching it, right?
Yeah. I wonder that there's more to do with the earthquakes, too, because that sometimes seems like that's a throwaway a little bit. Like, that guy's like, hey, there's an earthquake. And, like, he's not telling anybody except for that one guy. Got to be more to the fact that there's these earthquakes nobody knows about and he's not telling people. I don't know.
Your whole job is to monitor for earthquakes,
Who knows?
No, I agree. No, his job isn't. It wasn't to monitor for earthquakes. He just happened to notice that there was. Because when the machines went on the fritz.
I did feel very good this week, you guys, that the Book of Al-Zuras returned. And while I didn't love all that basement water stuff, I mean, after last week,
last week when I was like,
I thought about Al-Zuras, and then it turned out to be Noah, blah, and then it turns out to maybe be Noah and Al-Zuras. Like, I liked that they brought back that mythology from last season.
I wanted to ask you guys about that, actually. What did you think about Sanvi's face being in the picture?
I thought that could have been any woman's face. And like that guy said, you see what you want to see. That's what I thought.
It did look like Sanvi, though.
It did look like her, but my person with straight dark hair. I mean, it wasn't like a photographic rendering, like a sketchy drawing.
But in the entire episode, nothing they saw did they really see. The water is not real. Like, Grace comes in and she's like, there's no water in here.
Right.
The entire thing is a calling. So if they see Grace's face, did they really see her face or is that part of the calling? Not Grace, Sandy. If they see Sandy drawing.
But that wasn't part of the calling. The book isn't part of the calling. The book is
real.
Why not?
The book isn't part of the calling. Could you not look at it and see? Okay, but the window that Michaela looked into was real, but she saw the reflection of her face bleeding. Right?
But
like,
what I'm saying
is,
look
at that book and see something that's not. The book is real. Sanvi's face, maybe, is something the calling wants them to see.
The answer to your question is yes. But when they were looking at the book, the calling wasn't taking place.
But because the cloud and the water weren't taking place.
Yes.
We didn't get that calling business. I hear you. I get it. I feel like if Grace or Olive looked at it and said, holy shit, that looks like Sandy, I'd be more inclined to feel like, oh, it's a real picture of zombie, and not so much like they see things that
so
the calling wants them to see.
Yeah, you're not going to
get that. It did look like her. It did look like her, but would you have thought it looked like her if they didn't tell you it looked like her? I hear Jamie saying it could be anybody, but then you look at it, I don't know. These two are having a major calling experience, and could you see yourself in that? Could you see anyone in that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that it really matters, but I don't know. He did. That's why I said, though, he did make that point about, like, he didn't see before, and he's like, well, you saw what you want to see. And that's why I think it was just, it didn't really matter one way or another, at least to me. It's almost 12 o'clock, though, guys. We got to wrap it up. But I'll ask you guys one thing, because you guys keep talking about, not Olive. I want to call her Olive, not Olive.
Angelina?
What's her name?
Single white female?
Angelina.
Like, white female. Am I the only one, though, that sometimes feels sort of bad for her? Because I know that, I get that she's totally pissed at her. I totally understand that. But I kind of see her side, too, though, and why she's doing it. I mean, this girl had, like, basically no family.
It's extreme.
Family. It is extreme. And the thing with, like, that boy was, like, really, like, yeah, now she's really going to be pissed. But I feel like it's more the way it's coming across and the way she's doing it. But I can see her wanting to become part of the family and doing what she can to be like her, to be
but
she wants it so bad. It's the way she's doing it and going about it. But I
there's
still
a big difference between wanting to be part of a family and doing what she's doing. Not to mention, it came out of left field. They just threw it at us. Like, there was no last week when they first gave it to us.
But I think
they just threw it at us.
Right.
And now it's full blown. It's ridiculous.
But I feel like it's more the way they're showing it. Like, I get
because
what
that's how it
Grace
is.
Wanting to be like her. Yeah, her taking her boyfriend was like, yeah, that's definitely stepping over the line. But I can understand her wanting to be like her and her wanting her clothes and her wanting to become, you know, not necessarily become her, but she needs to dial it back. But I still kind of feel bad for the girl a little bit and like that she's like, these people care about me. Like, she wants to be a part of that. So
right.
I don't
know. She didn't have basically no family. She was raised by very religious, strict parents. But we're not aware they were abusive until she came back from the flight. When she came back from the flight and had the visions, her parents were like, you have a demon, blah, blah. But I'm not really aware that she had a bad upbringing.
I think
Olive
is supposed to be younger. I forget that she's older because
she's
an adult.
Younger, yes.
A teenager like Olive. I mean, not that the girl plays Olive as a teenager, but, you know, supposed to be a teenager.
I also don't really think she had reason to not feel welcome in the family. I think they've gone out of their way to make her feel welcome as a part of the family. So for her, I do think it was sort of out of line for Olive to be like, we pity you, which is not at all the feeling I get from the Stone family. This is really this is very similar to the movie. If you've seen the movie, like in the early, and you might have, I mean, I saw this movie, this is from the 80s. I'm sure AJ's seen it. Jamie, maybe you've seen it. Single white female. But like when Jennifer Jason Leigh starts to really stalk her, one of the first things she does is cut her hair exactly like the roommate, right? It's one of the major plot points in Single White Female is where she cuts her hair to have the short haircut to look exactly like her. And then a later step is where she sleeps with the boyfriend. Is he drunk or whatever? But she sleeps with the boyfriend and he thinks it's her because of the hair and the makeup and all, right? Like, she does go after the boyfriend and sleep with him in the movie. Like, it's a pretty PG, it's really a G-rated version of Single White Female, but this is exactly what happens. Until she eventually wants to kill her and take over her life. So I don't know that Angelina is going there to want
to
kill
her. I'm just saying I can see her wanting to be like her because she likes what she has and that and wants to be a
part
of it.
But Jamie, being like somebody, but it's extreme. It's not a presentation. It's intentional. It's an intentional presentation because that's what's happening.
No, but what I'm saying, I don't think I'm phrasing what I'm saying. I think that there's a chance that they want you to think that. Like, I don't think that that is necessarily what she was trying to do. Like, I think they're trying to make you think that it's this nefarious thing. Her going to kiss her boyfriend, yeah, that was majorly over the line. But I'm saying, I don't think she necessarily wants to take over all of
Florida. Dying her hair was out of line. Give you that. Like, they're trying to make us think she's psychotic and wants to kill all of it. It might not go there, and it might be that she...
Oh, I don't think it's... I'm not saying it's that. I'm saying...
It's going to go to a calling, or it's going to go to a... Yeah.
It came out of nowhere. I think, you know, for all the good things I like about the show, there's been some bad writing on certain things. Like, this storyline makes no sense whatsoever.
Maybe that's
like,
part
it
of the
just,
problem. The Stone family did go out of their way to make her welcome. And I felt, so 2 weeks ago, I felt like the fact that the baby likes Angelina was a sign that she's, like, I mean, that baby, like, the callings that Grace had because of the baby, and, like, we haven't really explored how that baby, if she's Ben's child, and the first HOA baby, but the fact that the baby liked her, I thought, was maybe a sign. But now, all of us, like, you're trying to take over my sister.
I guess. I don't know.
I'll tell you,
girls want to all be the same and all have the same haircut and all have. It doesn't necessarily mean they want to kill them.
Except that's
just what I'm
saying.
Like I said, I tend to forget she's not a teenager. That's what I said. I have to remember of maybe a teenager.
Also,
she's a lot older, and it makes it more creepy.
It also does not help that they took a month away from us, and it was a throwaway line.
38.
True.
Which I didn't catch until you guys said something.
Don't tell all of. If she hadn't said don't tell all of, then it might not have been quite so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think every episode has been like 30 days elapsed. It also explains why Jared and the major's daughter are so like lovey-dovey because they've been dating for 30 more days since the last time I saw them.
Yeah.
So. Wow, I can't believe we're talking so much about this. And like a year ago, AJ and I were like, oh, well, we're not really sure. We still like this. Things are getting crazy.
I mean, for the most part, I've felt really good about this season.
This season, yeah. Yeah. It's weaknesses, like this whole Angelina business that we've been yammering about, but it's generally pretty okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, well. We've talked. It's after midnight.
We have. All right. Time to wrap up. Jamie wanted us to, like, get ourselves on schedule a little better tonight. So, sorry about that.
Later. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I think, though, I'm about out of things to say. Unless you guys have more you want to.
Nope. I'm good.
Nope. Next week, we'll wrap a couple things up.
No, I said I want to go. I do want to mention the Nevers. I know you guys haven't watched it yet. I just would like you guys to see it because I want to know what you think. This is one of those shows where it's, I guess, not what you expect it to be. Like, they completely change your perception of what the show is once you get to a certain point. The sixth episode is basically an origin story of the episode, and I'm not going to explain it because I won't, you know, for people who haven't seen it, I don't know what happens. But the show from the beginning is obviously sort of sci-fi, but I told you the whole thing takes place in Victorian times and it's kind of steampunky. But the sixth episode kind of throws that on its head and you find out a lot of things you didn't know previously. And I think it sort of changes the whole through line of the story, which I really liked. And it's only midway through the season. I guess they only filmed the first part, and I don't know if it's because of COVID or whatever, but I guess they have to finish the second half. But I really like what they did with it, and it makes it more of a sci-fi show. And I don't know, it just, I guess some of it I sort of expected, but the majority of it I didn't. And I don't know, I just think you guys would like it. But I mean, it is what it is. Yes, it's kind of show, but it's interesting. It's different. I don't know, but I really like it. I'm excited to see.
I watched the first maybe two, I guess, episodes. Like I watched up until the last part I saw was when that sort of comet came from the sky and all the stuff fell on them. Not a comet, but you know what I mean. Like when that
Well, no, I know what it is. Thing came from the sky. And that, yeah, and that's what gave him the power. Well, the sixth episode really explains everything that happened, but not what you thought. Like, it's all completely different because there was, like, a big piece of the story that you were missing. And like I said, I don't want to say because people may not have even seen it yet. But, But anyway, I'm just curious what you guys think. But, I mean, you have to like that kind of show. It's sort of a fantasy-ish. But it's definitely got mythology based. It is confusing if you don't pay attention. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving pieces you have to kind of piece together. But I don't know. When I started watching the sixth episode, I thought at first I played the wrong show. I'm like, what the hell? And I realized I was playing the right show because I double-checked. But like I said, it's an origin story. I don't know. It just changes it. It's hard to explain without actually, like, spoiling things. But I'm curious what you guys think. If you aren't going to watch it, then I won't know. But
I'm sure if you like it, plenty of our listeners will like it also. I just, you know, the first two that I saw, and we talked about it, just didn't, like, jazz me enough to watch it. I didn't like that villain, the angel, is that her name? The villain, that crazy woman who jumps in the opera. And I just didn't really...
The thing is, I think you might like part of it because a lot of it is about the kind of the politics of, I don't know if they introduced that guy yet or not, if you met the guy, but he's like, I don't want to say he's in the government, but he's like a rich guy. He's like controls some of the stuff. And he does not want
the
women.
The sort of nerdy guy who's friends with the guy who's starting a sex club, those two.
Not this. This guy, I don't know the actor's name to even tell you, but he's one of the ones that, I don't even think you've seen the group have a meeting yet, but he's one of the guys that's like the head of the town or whatever. And the point is that they don't want women, because most of the people that are touched are women. And I said this before, how it's mostly people that like women have a voice. And he does not want not only touched, but does not want women to be high.
Oh, plus Victorian ever,
he doesn't like the fact that the girl that's a scientist has figured out all these things that their men can't figure out. But anyway, the point is a lot of it is the politics of them trying to stop the touch because they don't want them to have a voice and don't want people to listen to them. If that makes sense, like if I'm saying that.
Yep.
A lot of it's kind of that dynamic of they're trying to stop them for that reason. And Malady being the crazy serial killer murderer is kind of completely separate from that. That's why I said there's actually a lot of different things going on at once. Because that's why I said I watched the first couple and I was like wanting to read recap because I thought I missed pieces. I was confused. I feel like I was confused a lot with this show. If you don't pay attention, like you have to pay attention. I don't know. I liked it. I think it's a good show, but it does get different. But you have to. I mean, you may just not like it, and that's fine. I'm just kind of curious what you guys think, but I wouldn't know if you got to that point, because that's what really changes it is the sixth episode. Whoops, just knocked a bottle on the floor. That's not
good. All right.
I'm going to make sure that just
check it out.
that's HBO Max. I'm trying to think. I feel like there's another show coming or something I should be mentioning a lot, and I don't know what it is, but I was thinking.
I will catch it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it was I was thinking. I'll probably think of it after. Hang on. I will say the finale of Prodigal Son was tonight.
The series finale?
Yeah, the series finale. They canceled the show. I'm really disappointed they canceled it. I hope they find another home. I really wish, though, that networks would not – I mean, as much as you want to know right away, I kind of don't like that they announced it, like, 2 weeks before the finale, that it was canceled.
Oh, like you wish you would have watched it and then found out?
Yeah, well, I feel like it also ruins posting interviews because do people even care after they know it's not coming back, to some extent? But also, I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily watch the finale if they know it's, like, the end of it, or maybe they weren't going to – you know what I mean? Like,
that's true,
you know ahead.
People might fail out.
Like, most shows you watch them, and then you want to know if it's coming back. I just thought it was kind of strange to find out, like, 2 weeks before. But when I had talked to Tom, he had said they had written a couple of different endings. I don't know – I guess they must not have known it was canceled before they decided on the final version, I'm guessing. I don't know.
at least from what he said, it sounded. Now, whether or not they really knew, I don't know. I mean, there's no way to know whether they really knew, but you know, it ended. It could have, I guess, been either, I'd say, a series finale or a season finale. I mean, it wasn't like an ending, like I absolutely have to know what happened, but because I do agree with kind of what he said, like I wasn't necessarily surprised, like it makes sense the way they ended it, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious what people thought about the ending. I'm going to go on social media and see, because I'd seen it a while ago, but yeah, so that finale was tonight too. And I don't know, maybe another something will pick it up. I think if that's a good show. If you like those kind of, obviously it's like a, you know, procedural, but it's not sci-fi or anything, but I did really like that show. So that kind of stinks. Yep.
Well,
all right.
Life moves on. All right.
So I guess
so next
the other
week,
things are coming here. Season finale.
Oh, go ahead.
Though.
No,
Debris,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Done. No, I was just going to say Debris is going to be having the season finale. Fear is going to be having the season finale. Big Sky is going to be having the season finale. So, yeah, a lot of the shows
right.
are going to
so
be
we'll,
ending.
We'll have a big show next week and then a quieter show the following week.
Yeah, probably. All right. Okay, guys. Well,
right.
Have a good night.
All right, kids.
And
good night, Jamie.
Okay, good night. Talk to both of you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll do it again
Thank
next week.
Roger,
good night.
Have our show. Good night. Have a good week.